Several years ago, a well-known orchestra was preparing for a major performance. The musicians were exceptional, highly trained, deeply skilled, each one confident in their own ability. But during rehearsal, something went wrong. Something wasn't quite right. The violins pressed ahead, convinced that they carried the melody. The brass played louder, determined that they were going to be heard. The percussion? Well, the percussion kept their own tempo. Everyone was talented, but no one was truly listening. The result wasn't music at all. It was noise. It was noise. Finally, the conductor had enough. Tapping his baton on the podium, he said, "Hold! Hold!" And they stopped immediately. Then he said, "You know, you guys are excellent musicians, every last one of you, no doubt. But you're not yet unified as an orchestra. Until you learn to listen, until you're willing to go lower, to lower yourselves for the sake of the whole, you will never produce what this music was written to be." Now, there was notable silence at the moment when he finished. Then something changed. They began watching one another. They softened where needed. They held back when it wasn't their moment. They elevated others instead of competing with each other. And when they played again, the same instruments, the same music. Oh, but now something was different. The noise had become beautiful harmony. Brethren, that's not just a story about music or an orchestra. That is a story of marriage. That is a story of the church. You know, the sad truth is two people can live under the same roof and never be unified truly. Sad truth is a congregation can meet in the same building for years and years and never be truly one. Because unity is never created by proximity. It is created by humility. So please, guys, if you will, please cast your attention to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verses, we'll just read verses 1 through 5. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy," these are well-known passages, "fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2, 1 through 5. One thing is evident, brethren, and that is Scripture directs our attention to humility, because humility produces love, sacrifice, mercy, and unity. Unity. Brethren, that applies directly to our marriages and to our congregation, to the church itself. Because unity is not preserved by everyone insisting on their own way. It is preserved when we choose humility over pride, when we listen, when we yield, when we genuinely seek the good of the other person. So if you're looking for an SPS or a thesis, here it is. But what does that humility actually look like? What does it look like? Paul answers that by pointing us directly to Jesus Christ. In verse 8, drop down to verse 8 if you're still there in Philippians 2. Verse 8 says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." That is the mind that Paul is calling us to. Christ did not insist on his rights. He humbled himself. He served. He sacrificed. And when that same mind begins shaping a marriage, unity deepens. It's entrenched. And when that same mind shapes a congregation, harmony grows. That applies powerfully in our marriages. A husband may know he's right. A wife may know that she's been hurt. And sometimes both may feel justified. But unity rarely breaks apart because of one huge event, does it? No, it doesn't. Usually it starts small. It always does. A sharp word, a wrong tone, a moment of feeling overlooked or unappreciated. And then comes the danger. Instead of yielding, we dig in, right? Instead of listening, we defend. Instead of protecting unity, we protect self. And slowly, harmony becomes noise. Noise. The same thing can has happened over and over again within the church. We all know that. A misunderstanding, a disappointment, a hurt that isn't released, a grudge that's allowed to fester. And if pride takes hold, distance, well, distance follows. Which is why Paul gives the command, but then immediately gives the example. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he points us to Jesus Christ directly. Christ did not insist on his rights. He didn't. Never did. He did not cling to position. He let all that go. He humbled himself. He served. He gave everything. Everything. He lowered himself all the way, even to death, even on death on a tree, the most humiliating form of death at that time. Not because, why? Not because he had anything to prove. He had nothing to prove. He was God. But because love willingly humbles itself for the good of another. And that is the mind Paul says that we are to have. In marriage, that may mean choosing gentleness when you could press your point, listening when you feel misunderstood, letting go of the need to win, serving when it costs something, and that is hard. And in the church, it may mean being patient with one another, refusing to let offense grow. That's difficult. Letting go of grievances, looking for ways to lift others up, choosing peace over pride. Brethren, imagine what marriages would look like if both husband and wife sincerely asked every single day, "How can I serve you better?" Imagine what the church would look like if each of us walked through those doors every Sabbath and we did not ask, "Am I being recognized or making demands of the church?" But asking, "Who can I encourage today? Who can I lift up?" Brethren, that is when the noise stops. That is when unity deepens and is entrenched. That is when marriages reflect God's design. And that is when the church begins to look more like the bride Christ is preparing. So Paul's call is simple and searching. It is. Lower yourself. Let go of pride. Esteem others. Take on the mind of Christ. Brethren, think again about that orchestra preparing for that performance. Every one of those musicians had a different instrument. They had different notes to play. They had different parts to play. Yet, when each one followed the conductor, when each one listened, when each one humbly submitted to the conductor and the music that they had before them, instead of trying to be heard above everyone else, the result was beautiful harmony. Harmony. That's exactly what Paul is calling us to in Philippians 2. Because where humility grows, harmony will follow. And when humility fills our marriages and our congregations in our church, the music becomes what God intended it to be. And brethren, that is the kind of harmony God is preparing in our homes and families and in His church and ultimately in His coming kingdom. Different instruments, but one conductor, Jesus Christ, leading every part in perfect unity with the Father to the very glory of the Father.